The decision this week by Family Court Chief Justice Alastair Nicholson to allow a 13-year-old girl to take the first steps towards changing sex has caused much debate. The girl known as Alex will be allowed to begin reversible treatment now, with a view to starting testosterone treatment at 16, having surgery at 18. Alex was raised as a boy for much of her life and, as the court was told, is confused, feeling trapped and has thought about suicide. Psychiatrists have diagnosed her with gender identity dysphoria. While medical experts and churches continue to argue, I spoke to Margaret Jones from TransWest, the Transgender Association of Western Australia, and asked her, will changing sex improve Alex's life?
I think it does in most cases, and if it doesn't, then there's some other problem there. But for most people who transition, they are so much better off, they feel much better about themselves. And if they are accepted by the people around them, such as family members and people they relate to every day in their daily lives, they are generally so much better off and they feel much happier, and thoughts of suicide are generally much lower.
So gender identity dysphoria is like a battle between the mental, the physical and the social?
I think it is about being the person that you are. My belief is that a person does have a gender identity, and I think that you have one or the other or another one, because there are not just two, and your body might not match that, and you can't change your gender identity, but you can change your body.
Margaret, when did you become aware, at what time in your life, that your body and the way that you felt about your gender and your sexual identity weren't matching?
I think it was about the age of five, and I can put a time on that, because it was about the age of five that my family moved house, and I can remember thinking at the old house was I supposed to be a boy? I don't think so.
So do you think that you had gender identity dysphoria?
Oh, yes.
And were you ever diagnosed as such, or was that something that you've come to realise now in retrospect?
Well, I have hardly had any contact with the psychiatric profession. I have been to a couple of psychiatrists, well, a few psychiatrists actually, but just one visit each over a period of about 20 years to find out and talk about these big problems. But I think I was once diagnosed as a normal male, and I thought, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. So, no, I haven't actually been diagnosed with that. No, I haven't got a bit of paper that says I have gender identity disorder, no.
Do you think that's becoming a bit of a trend now, that we have to diagnose people, especially in these cases, because there's so many laws and regulations and rules that we have to adhere to, that you need to put a label and a name on these sorts of things?
I'm not sure if it's because of laws and regulations, but I think people do feel some tremendous compelling compulsion to label people and categorise people and pigeonhole people, especially as male or female. They really do, and then there's different types of males and females. I really think the pathologising part of it is dreadful, and we shouldn't accept it. People are just different, you know. It's like I know that I'm an androgyne. I'm not strictly male, I'm not exclusively male or exclusively female in my gender identity. So I'm not a transsexual, by the way. I would be called a transgender person, and the term I use for someone like myself is androgyne, meaning mixture of male and female. And you know, what's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see that could be a mental illness. It's just an identity, you know.
When we're talking about this physical change that Alex wants to undertake when he turns 18, do you think that's a different issue, and the fact that people are making such a big deal about it is the fact that he's going to physically change his body?
I think some people have, a lot of people have a tremendous fear of this kind of change, including transgender and transsexual people themselves. They're often very fearful of doing these things, of course. But critics think it's a dreadful thing to do. They don't see that the person is suffering dreadfully already, and that taking these kind of remedies will make them so much better off. They don't sort of consider that, how much better they're going to feel. As long as they are making the right decision, of course, and we know that people can make wrong decisions, and that's a very, very regrettable thing. But if it is the right decision for this person, when the time comes, and it's at least 5 years away, he will be well ready by that time to make this decision, I think.
So do you think 13 years old is too early for someone to decide the identity that they're going to take on in the future?
The thing is that many transsexual and transgender people, probably the vast majority of us, have are quite certain about our gender identity from a pretty early age, well before the age of 13. The only question is, what are you going to do about it? And eventually, many of these people decide to transition, and many of them don't. So it's a very important point, is this person ready? But you should remember that in the judgment of the Family Court of Australia, Justice Nicholson, he has made a judgment where Alex can begin some aspects of transition, but they are not irreversible things. They are reversible things. So this is not something that Alex can't, you know, decide that he's made a mistake later on.
So the media is just making a big fuss over the whole issue.
Well, they certainly are, and I think that bespeaks of the tremendous phobia that some people have about transgender people and the lack of understanding, the ignorance of the issues, the lack of exposure to transgender people as individuals. You know, we become a sort of stereotype, and the more that people do meet us in person and get to hear our stories, which are tremendously varied, the more we start to become real people, and then there's more compassion and more understanding, and we'll be allowed to get on with our lives without interference from people trying to stop us from transitioning.
What do you say to people like Andrew Evans from Family First Party and church leaders who say this type of thing is outrageous and dangerous?
Well, I don't know that name. I think it could be dangerous if you make a mistake. Yeah. Whether it's outrageous, I think it's outrageous to try and stop people improving their lives and solving one of their biggest problems. It's a tremendous problem. You know, it's not something I'd wish on my worst enemy, to have gender dysphoria. It's really dreadful. And quite a number of people with gender dysphoria, suicide. They kill themselves. And I really question whether transgender and transsexual people are mentally ill. They have this problem of gender dysphoria, which is an unhappiness with the gender that they are supposed to be living before they transition. But, you know, that's not like being psychotic or delusional or anything like this. Transgender and transsexual people know much more about themselves than anybody else. They know what they are inside.
Margaret Jones from the Transgender Association of Western Australia talking